Our text this evening is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Now I direct your attention to verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 19. The title of the sermon is God's Extravagant Supply. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, is an infinite fountain. Even these enormous water towers that we sometimes see can be completely drained of all of their contents. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we find a limitless, inexhaustible supply that is brought to believing sinners. He is an infinite fountain. And that is the backdrop. It is against that backdrop that we find ourselves. Because as we look at ourselves, we discover finite needs, limited needs. We are creatures, after all. And even in our fallen, sinful state, there are parameters to all of the needs that we have. Now, they are varied, multitudinous, lots of different types of needs that come, many at the same time, in varieties of shapes and sizes through various seasons of our life, but they're limited nonetheless. And so we, as limited creatures, are drawing nigh to an infinite fountain, an infinite supply of goodness and of grace that the Lord provides for us. And it's a word that is both relevant and precious to us. These words in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Notice all that is compacted into these very brief words. We see the source of this supply in God the Father. We see the guarantee of it, shall supply. We see the extent of supply, all your need. You see the proportion according to His riches in glory. And we see the means by Christ Jesus. You'll notice that the emphasis falls in many ways on the last part, that Christ alone is the believer's supply. Christ alone. And it is because it is Christ that it is an extravagant supply that God gives to us. We're going to note three things this evening as we seek to meditate upon these words in the preaching this evening. First of all, we see the need for supply. So we begin with ourselves, with the need for supply. It says in our textbook, but my God shall supply all your need. So those three words, all your need, that is all of your wants, all that you lack, all of your necessities, all of your poverty, all of your shortage, all of your impoverishment, all, he says, all your need, not some of it, not intermittently, not even most of it, but all of it, he says. So it is full. It is bountiful. You'll think of Peter's words in 2 Peter 1 when he provides, we're told that he provides for his people all that we stand in need of for life and for godliness. Now that includes, of course, the needs of our body as well as our souls, both the temporal and the spiritual. And there are many, even among the professing people of God, who are especially preoccupied primarily with the temporal. Now, a person who is preoccupied exclusively with the needs of the body or with temporal needs find themselves in that position because of carnality, because of a twisted, distorted, skewed view of themselves, an earthly mindedness, a worldly mindedness, a preoccupation with merely the temporal is a symptom of a deeper heart problem ultimately one that is rooted in idolatry. But we can even be preoccupied primarily, though not exclusively, with these temporal concerns. Now the Lord says that He shall supply all your needs. So that means He supplies for our bodies. He supplies for our temporal concerns. But He would have us to be preoccupied with our spiritual needs. He would have us preoccupied with our spiritual needs. Think of the words of our Lord Himself, well-known words from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into an oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we have this assurance that the Father knows, and the Father will supply all of these temporal needs, what we eat, where we live, what clothes we put on, and so on. But He says, as for you, you're to be preoccupied. You're to seek first and foremost, the kingdom and the righteousness of God. We're to take care of His interests in full assurance that He'll also take care of our necessities in order that we might be fully equipped to serve Him. You think of the Lord's Prayer. First half of the Lord's Prayer pertains to things that belong to the Lord. The hallowing of His name, the coming, the advance of His kingdom, His will being accomplished in the world. I mean, this is where we begin. This is the preoccupation, the priority of the hearts of God's people. And it's after that that we then find in the fourth petition, give us our daily bread. That too is included, a competent portion supplied by the Lord. But He is to be put first above all else. And the reason that this is given a priority is because we have far greater needs than merely our temporal lack. So while the Lord promises to care for that and to supply that, we're to recognize that we have deeper, more substantial needs, ones that pertain to the soul, which is immortal. Ones that pertain ultimately not just to time, but to eternity. And what is eternity? What is time in light of eternity? Think with me of some of the spiritual needs that we stand looking to the Lord to supply. Well, first of all, there is no standing before a righteous God. No standing before a righteous God without righteousness. So He is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. He is one who is just in all that He accomplishes. And so a sinful creature in and of themselves would have no hope. There has to be a supply of righteousness to find acceptance with Him. And yet what do we find? Well, we look at ourselves and we look at one another, and the Bible tells us that there is none righteous. No, not one. So we are not righteous, and there is none around us that are righteous. Indeed, our parents can't supply us with this righteousness. You know, very wealthy and powerful people cannot supply us with this righteousness. No creature has the ability. It only comes by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one. God supplies it in Himself. The Lord, our righteousness. As the scripture says, He has been made unto us, as we read in 1 Corinthians 1, righteousness. Christ is the one who is the righteousness of, it is His perfect righteousness which clothes the believing people of God in His presence. And so there's a need for righteousness. We also see our need in terms of our spiritual weakness. If we are being sane, if we are being clear-headed, if we're being honest with ourselves, we recognize we're actually the epitome of weakness, that we are as weak as water. if you start to lose your balance and then put your hand on a plane of water, what happens? Your hand will pass through it. There's instability there. We are weak. We have great weakness, and it comes out on a day-to-day basis. We see our weakness in the face of temptations. And so temptations easily beset us. And we find that we can be blown over like a leaf that has fallen off of a tree, or we're set into a season of affliction and suffering. And all of a sudden, our weakness, our spiritual weaknesses, come to the surface and are manifest. We see it in terms of the duties that God calls us to. We have responsibilities in the home, in the church, in the workplace, in the community. Many, many responsibilities that God calls us to. Duties that fall to hand that we must carry out in the fear of God and in love for Him. And yet how weak we are, and the ability to live out and to fulfill the duties that God gives us. We see that weakness, our need, our great need for supply. And what are we to do? Temptation, affliction, duty, all of the other things that come with it. What are we to do when we are as weak as water? Well, we are to go, as this passage reminds us, to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look a few verses earlier in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that the context there is the need for contentment. But it applies more generally to the need that we have for all of the graces that we stand in need of. There is the sense of neediness that comes from a prevalent consciousness of our own sins. A need, in other words, for God's grace. We need His grace to revive us in our spiritual lethargies. We need His grace to renew us after the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need empowering grace to enable us to walk before Him in love. And our sin creates havoc in all of this. And it parches us. It saps us. We stand in need of a supply of grace. And the Lord is the one who comes and says that He gives more grace. He gives more grace to the humble. That where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. He sends us to the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of the well-known words in Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's our need. And in the midst of all of that, we find grace at a throne of grace. We stand in need of consolation, of comfort. We don't need the world's peace. We don't need the false peace that we conjure up in our own hearts and minds. We don't need the cries for peace, peace where there is no peace. We need genuine comfort and consolation to strengthen us in all of our woes and in all of our sorrows and in the midst of this veil of tears. The Lord Jesus Christ says in John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Here is our need and the supply that is given in the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of the need for safety. People crave security. People crave it. I mean, we've seen it throughout this year. You have the threat of a virus. People are put into a panic. They want safety. They want to be kept from it. You know, there's unrest, societal unrest in the streets. They want safety. They want protection. They want security. There's a sense of need for both physical safety as well as, and more importantly, for our spiritual safety. I mean, if we're, again, honest with ourselves, death is always at hand. Death is a breath away. And there are people that are taken unexpectedly and surprisingly out of this world on a day-to-day basis. We recognize that in a split second, a car accident results in our exit from this world. And many, many, many other things, traps that are on the right hand and in the left. There's a need for safety in terms of our body, not only in death, but in everything less than that. But how much more for our spiritual safety? We have an enemy who is a roaring lion, who is going about seeking whom he may devour. The devil would destroy the Christian in a split second, in an instant, if he were given leave to do so. You think of all of the destructive influences of the world around us, many of them imperceptible, things that are influencing us and affecting how we think and see and feel, what we do and don't do, the sin that is the corruption within our own bosom. We need safety. We need protection from this. We need the Lord to be a shield. We need the Lord to be the defender of his people. We need supernatural deliverance. We need the Lord to be a refuge and a strong tower to us. Without the covering, without the deliverance, without the Lord's hand upon us, we're exposed. It would be like squashing a little bug. It would take the least effort to bring about our spiritual or physical demise. There is a need for the Lord. You think of the need that we have even in coming to the end of our life, passing through death into glory, going over the great divide, passing through the turbulent waters of the Jordan to enter into the promised land. It is described as a dark valley, the valley of the shadow of death. What does the Lord say? The Lord comes and he says that he is the guide of his people, even unto death. That the Lord is the one. We sing it in Psalm I just quoted, Psalm 23. In the valley of the shadow of death, it is the Lord's presence that is affirmed there. That he is the, we stand in need of one to carry us across the Jordan. We stand in need of one to uphold our heads above the waters. There's great need for supply. The problem is our losing sight of that need. We are prone in our spiritual delusion towards self-sufficiency. We're prone in our independent spirit to lean upon the arm of flesh. And in doing so, we fail to see our need. And this was the problem with the Laodiceans. In Revelation 3, verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Think of that. And have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. That sense of having a need of nothing. Those who do not see their need are the ones who are in the greatest position of need. They have the greatest need of all, because they can't even see clearly their circumstances. And that comes in a wide variety of degrees. We begin to think that our plans and our efforts and the things that we've done will establish certain degrees of security that we can then think nothing else about. We even do it with our own soul in our private worship and in our family worship and in public attendance at the means of grace and in many, many other things that the Lord supplies for us. We think that somehow if we go through these motions that it would be adequate, without ever recognizing that it is Christ that comes to us in those means, that we are actually looking to him, that we are coming in prayer and in the scriptures and in sung praise and so on, out of the sense of our own destitution, out of the sense of our own neediness. I mean, this, among many things, is what helps us in our prayers. Having a sense of how desperate we are for the Lord, for a sight of his glory, for his grace, for strength to seek him, for a heart that is tender of conscience toward him, for the ability to receive his word with faith, to be able not only to understand it, but to have it applied to our being, our soul, and to have it worked out in all of its fruitfulness in our lives. Right? We cry to Him. We come together on a Wednesday night for a prayer meeting because we are a needy people. We are desperate and dependent upon the Lord. And we know at the end of the day, as our Savior has taught us, that there is only really one thing needful, one primary thing that is needful, and that is to have Christ Himself. All else, and at all other times, everything else is to be found in Him. It brings us to our second point. Not only the need for supply, but also the source of supply. If you go back to our text in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, "But my God shall supply." Here is the source. "My God shall supply by Christ Jesus." Here is the source of our supply. It comes from God the Father, by or through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now note the pronoun. Paul says, "But my God shall supply by Christ Jesus." Oh, that the Lord would give us a sense of this. This is personal. This is intimate. This is not abstract. This is not far flung. This is not theoretical. It's not just being able to say theologically that God, the creator and sustainer of all things, is the one who provides for what His people need. But it is intimately personal. Oh, that the Lord would give us the ability to say, by faith, my God. That I am looking to my God, the one who is mine, whom I have and know and love, whose fellowship I enjoy, who is the object of the eyes of faith. My God is the source of supply. The one who reveals Himself as Jehovah Jireh, God, our provider. But you notice that the Father only supplies it by means of His Son. God supplies all that we lack. The Father supplies, but He does so by the Son. The Eternal Father and the Son, who is consubstantial, the Eternal Son with the Father, one God. It is through the Son that He brings these things to us. And so our eyes are set to look upon Him. You think of what what we read about Jesus in John 1, you know, the opening preamble. But after that, in verse 16, it says, "And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. It is of the fullness that is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And what fullness is that, my friend? Colossians 1 verse 19. "For it pleased the Father that in Him," that is Christ, "should all fullness dwell." So it is in Christ that all the divine fullness dwells. And it is out of that fullness, the divine fullness, that we receive grace for grace and all else that we stand in need of. The Father supplies through the Son, at the hand of the Son, by the means of the Son. And so our eyes are to be looking to Christ as the one who comes to us in the fullness of His deity to give us all that we lack. What does that mean? It means that this source of supply is at hand. As we sing in Psalm 16, "The Lord is at my right hand. In His presence is fullness of joy," right? In His presence are pleasure forevermore. So it is something that is at hand, a supply that is at hand, not far off. I mean, you have those that are in other countries and they end up having need for something that there's no access to in their country, and they send home an email or a phone call to those in America, and they have to package it up and send it to them. It goes on a boat or a plane. It takes days, maybe even weeks, in order to get there. I mean, you yourselves find at times need, and there may be a personal crisis, and you have to wait for friends or family that are perhaps at a further distance to come and to stay with you for a few weeks and so on. But this is not the case here. It is the source of supply is at hand. Indeed, as we saw in Matthew 6, if you're a believer, your Father knows what you need before you do. He knows of it before you become conscious of it. He knows of it before you even ask Him. The Lord knows all of these things, and He is the one who stands ready with copious supply out of His own infinite resources to give all that the believer lacks. We see evidence of this everywhere, even in the created order, in the way the Lord has designed things. It is out of the heavens that the earth receives its supply. Right? We have sunshine like today that warms the earth, or that, you know, gives nutrients. You have rain that falls from heaven that waters dry, crusty, parched ground in order to revive and make fruitful the soil. You think of an individual tree. We look at the trunk and we look at the branches, and if it's a fruit tree, we can look at the bud, blossom, and fruit that are born on it. And yet all of that supply is coming from, not all of it, but supply is coming from underneath, right? The roots are pulling nutrients out of the soil, and there's this supply that comes in order to produce fruitfulness. I mean, we ourselves live in dependence out of the supply of the earth. So we have vegetables, and we have fruit, and we have grains, and we have chickens and beef and other types of meat and so on, all of which supplies for our own physical nourishment. The sun supplies light, which is borrowed by the moon to shine. Rivers supply water into the sea. Even in your home, you have a pantry which supplies food for a given meal that you're going to eat. And we're being told here, you know, all of these things are pointers. You open your eyes, you begin to look around, and there's evidence of this pattern, this design, this principle that is there. And the Lord is coming to us, and He's saying, I am the storehouse. I am the storehouse of my people. I am the infinite fountain that never runs dry. I am the one for both body and soul, time and eternity, that supplies all that you could ever lack, all that you ever have or ever will, all that you could ever imagine lacking. The Lord says, I am the infinite storehouse. And the Father is the one who comes, and He comes to supply out of His abundance by the Lord Jesus Christ. Our eyes are being set and reset. And reset again, day after day. We arouse from our sleep, our subconsciousness. We come into a new day, and it's made evident to us that we stand in need of this source of supply. We get down on our knees before the Lord, and we take the eyes of our soul and we glue them upon Him, and we say, Lord, we need physical strength to serve You. We need spiritual strength to serve You. We need all of the help of the Holy Spirit to watch against sin and to resist its onslaughts. We need grace to be charitable and giving in our dealings with those that are around us. We need grace in order to sustain that fellowship with the triune God throughout the day. We need grace to be a light and to be a witness, and to speak a word in season to those that are around us. We need help in order to point them to the source of life and of grace. The Lord says, I am the one. All of these things come from Me. Nothing. You can point to nothing. You can put your hand on nothing. There is nothing at all that the Lord Himself is not the source of supply for, that is good, that is gracious, that is glorifying to Him. You see how these truths being massaged into our souls, working into our hearts and minds, changing, shaping the way that we think, shaping the way that we emote and think and so on. The effect that it has, what does it have? It leads us to coming and telling Christ. We come to Christ and we tell him what we need. And if you're a believer here this evening, this is exactly what you need. You need to be driven and drawn. You need to be wooed and won to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to pour out the contents of your hearts, to lay it all out before him and to say, Lord, I am all neediness. I am all lack. I'm all want. I have nothing in and of myself. As Paul says to the Corinthians, what do you have that you haven't received? What is it? What can you call your own? Everything that you own has come from him. Everything that you are has come from him. Everything that you've done for good has come from him. The only thing you can call your own, as so many have said, is your sin. What is it that you have that you have not received? We come and say, oh Lord, we are all neediness. And we tell him. You know, so often you are quick to call and tell a friend about your need. To email a family member and tell them about your need. To talk to other people in the house about your need. And the Lord is saying, I am the supply. Why would you be going to all of these other things? Not that they don't have their place, but why not coming to me and falling before me, looking to me in all of these things? All of this is by Christ alone. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are destitute. We would be starved to death, physically and spiritually. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we would perish hopelessly. We would perish eternally, but for him alone. But for the Lord Jesus Christ. All is to be found in him. He is the source of supply. But my God shall supply. Notice there the guarantee or the insistence, shall supply. He indeed will do it. It's not just that he has the ability to do it. It's not just that he is willing to do it. But this text says he shall do it. He shall do it for his own glory and for the good of his people. So we see the need of supply. We see the source of supply. But then thirdly, we see the abundance of supply. The abundance of supply. He says, according to his riches in glory. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Here is the abundance of supply. It is the supply is according to God's divine riches in glory. So it is not according to your merit. Everything that he supplies is undeserved. You haven't paid for the supply. You haven't earned it. You have not merited. It is not according to your merit that the Lord supplies it. Nor is it according to your capacity. Remember what I said in the introduction, infinite fountain, finite neediness. It's not even according to your capacity, but rather the text says it is in proportion to the degree and manner that is becoming to the Lord himself. It is according to the proportion that is suited to the Lord himself. Here we're being told, the living and true God, this rich God, provides rich supplies. Think of all of the ways in which this comes out in the language of Scripture. He is rich in mercy. He is rich in grace. He is rich in comfort. He is the God of all comfort. And all of the other graces that you can put your hand upon, he is rich in them. Remember, it is out of his fullness and grace for grace, as we saw in John 1. And so all of those graces, the Lord is rich, and this rich God provides rich supply. In other words, it's not just that He fills us. It's not just that we are full, but rather that it is overflowing. It is according to His proportions. He doesn't just bring us up to the brim. He overflows us. It's not just abundant. It is superabundant according to His riches in glory. In glory, this is pointing to us the superlative nature of the supply. God is actually renowned for this. The Lord has made His glory manifest in this, in the abundance with which He has dealt with His people. You think of all of the ways in which we see this trotted out on the pages of Holy Scripture, and Him coming to one after another, and overwhelming them with the supply, abundant supply of His provisions. You think of your own life, if you're a believer, how the Lord has come in a variety of ways, and it's at times been unanticipated, perhaps even faith mixed with a great deal of unbelief. And the Lord has surprised you again and again. Temporal provisions, yes, but how much more the spiritual provisions as well. And He's opened doors, as it were, and gales have come from heaven that have revived you. You came unexpected, and the Lord gives you a disclosure of His glory. He revives your heart. He puts strength into your bones. The Lord sends you into a season of growth and of consolation and so on. It is from the storehouse of His glory. It is from the storehouse of His own glory that He supplies all of the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. This is the source that the Lord has given us. It's an abundance of supply. It's for that reason that it redounds to His glory. Because out of the riches of glory come all that we could ever desire and long for. And the Lord comes with opulence, and the Lord comes with lavish bestowal of blessing upon us. He gives us things that we know we do not deserve. Sometimes things we hadn't dreamed of. What does it do? It redounds to His glory. It redounds to His praise. There are innumerable instances, innumerable saints, both past and present, who can testify to this. Indeed, the angels in heaven can testify to it as well. Think of all of the praise that has gone up by the spirits of just men made perfect in heaven. Glory and honor and praise, majesty and dominion unto the Lamb forevermore. The angels who throng the throne with all of their praises. The praises that have gone up from within this very house, among the believing people of God who have thanked Him and rejoiced over the blessings, the abundant supply that He has given. And you can see the logic in this. The Lord delights in His own praise. The Lord delights in His own glory. He does. And so when He comes with this abundant supply for body and soul, and it produces the fruit by the Holy Spirit of thankfulness and gratitude and praise to the Lord, can you see how the Lord delights to pour out that blessing in order that His own name might be magnified and glorified, acknowledging Him in the supply? Well, the abundant supply is also continual. If it's according to His riches and glory, it must be continual. The Lord doesn't come. It's not all at once where He says, here's the deposit of blessing. That will be adequate for you. No, it is continual. It never doesn't only, not only does it not come at once, it is something that never runs out. It is something that is infinite. So the pattern the Lord uses of a perpetual supply. He taught Israel this. They're delivered from Egypt. That came in an overwhelming singular event, the destruction of Egypt and bringing them across the Red Sea and dry ground and so on. But they don't appear on the other side of that deliverance on the borders of Canaan, do they? They don't step out of the sea and onto the promised land. The Lord says, no, through the wilderness, you're going to have to trek. What do they learn? They learn to live upon the Lord. He gives them manna from heaven. But if they say, well, we're going to save this up, what would happen? It would stink. It would rot, be full of worms if they kept it an extra day. He says, no, I'm going to give you your daily bread. You're going to live with your eyes glued on me. And so day after day, year after year, decade after decade, they have this daily provision that never runs out. And it's not until they come to the promised land itself, a land flowing with milk and honey, clusters of grapes, olive yards, and all of the abundance that's there, that the manna ceases. It's only in the arrival in Canaan. And the Lord's teaching us, isn't he, that there's this continual, perpetual supply. It's not as if you can say, I'll pray today and I'll look to the Lord in his word today, and I'll sit under the ministry of his word today, and that will last me for the remainder or the balance of this year or this month. In this case, this month is the end of this year. But the point is, you can't look like that. You can't think like that. The Lord says you have to come to me day after day. And it is every day that we're begging our daily bread, both physical and spiritual. And the Lord says, as long as you're passing through this wilderness, as long as you're a pilgrim in this world, you're going to live upon my continual supply. Until he sees us at last safely across the border into the heavenly Canaan, into the promised land, where we will have then all that there is in himself for eternity. There is an abundance of supply. It is according to his riches in glory. The fact is that we are unbelieving. God is more willing to give than we are to ask. The Lord stands ready to pour out grace. He delights in those who come with humility, acknowledging that they are bereft. He delights to provide out of his bounty. We need to repent over our unbelief and the inadequate, the small views that we have of the Lord, of his ability and willingness. We need to repent as well over our failure to acknowledge the Lord. We will at times receive a word from heaven, ministry of the word, preaching, our daily meditation, our prayer, or physically the Lord will give something with work or the temporal necessities of life, and we've sought it. And when we get it, we rejoice over it. And we quickly move on to the next thing, rather than being as earnest in returning thanks or praise as we were in the earnestness of our petitions. We need to acknowledge the Lord in these things, glorify him, make great his name, and to show forth the wonder and splendor of his praise. My friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, is an infinite fountain. It is through him that we find all that we lack. And so we sing in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It is because Christ, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the overseer, a bishop of our souls, it is because Christ is the one who is shepherding us that we shall not want. We shall not lack, because he shall supply all of our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's stand together for prayer. O Lord, our God in heaven, our great, our gracious, our glorious God, the God who is the infinite supply, of thy people. O Lord, increase our faith. Increase our ability to see both our destitute neediness and the infinite provisions thou hast provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant, O God, that we would be drawn unto him, that we would find in him our all in all. Grant that glory and honor and praise would be gathered unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ through these means, and that we might rejoice in him afresh, all to thy praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.